Reading from God's holy word. First, we're reading from the prophet Hosea. We are in the second chapter. We're in the first chapter, beginning at verse 2. So we're on the wrong page all over. Oh. Hear what the prophet Hosea had from the Lord. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go and take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Dibalim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Judah for the massacre of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Loruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God." And after she had weaned Loruhamah, Gomer had another son. And then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites shall be like sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called sons of the living God." And we note that after this prophecy, the two kingdoms, the first one Israel, was conquered and taken into exile, and we know nothing of what happened to their people, and we know that their land was no longer theirs. And now we're in the second chapter of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossia. We read starting at verse 6. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in putting off the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Luke. We're in the 11th chapter. We had heard the parable of the Good Samaritan a couple weeks ago, and then last week we would have heard about the visit to the home of Martha and Mary, and now Jesus continues on with his disciples and his teachings. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. O God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was in college, I learned a new spiritual discipline for me. It's not a new spiritual discipline. It's an ancient spiritual discipline, but at that time it was new to me. It's called Lectio Divina. And you start by reading the assigned scripture for the day, and then you meditate. You spend 20 minutes about in silent meditation, just focusing on your breathing and letting that scripture lesson go through your head and your heart. And then after that time, you start to pray. And while you pray, you journal your prayer. Sounds simple. Half hour. I started with the little cheap spiral notebooks, you know. Those don't work so good. The metal gets bent, and then the pages don't turn, and the pages fall out. But it works. I've got boxes of this stuff. One of these days, I'm really going to go through them. I don't know what I'll do with them, though. Because when I do start, I look at them and I go, wow, that's who I was. That's where I was. That's where God met me and was with me. Look at these prayers that actually really did get answered. Not like I thought they would, but they did get answered. It's an amazing way to look back and reflect on our prayer life. Nowadays, I like the more substantial hard books you can get like at Barnes & Noble with the blank pages inside, you know, they kind of last a little longer. I invite you to try it if you haven't. Spend a month every day doing Lectio Divina and see what your prayer journals reveal about your relationship with God and, more importantly, your relationship with prayer. That's what today's gospel invites us to do, doesn't it? We ask Jesus to teach us to pray, and then we need to look and see what prayer does for us, how it's changed our life. Maybe it's helped us change our understanding of God just a little bit. I know there are times, I haven't found which one exactly, but I know there are times when I prayed to God like he was a genie. And my prayer was like Aladdin rubbing that lamp, and that genie was going to come out and kabam, I was going to have exactly what it was I wanted. I know there are times when I have prayed for things that really went against what my true needs were and the kingdom of God. And those are the prayers that are just kind of hanging there for me to learn and grow from. We all have prayers like that. When my first daughter was born that year, we had neighbors, wonderful people, love them dearly. We attended the Presbyterian Church. They attended the Southern Baptist Church, but we just got along great. We were always in each other's homes. Connie and I both have a similar lack of sense of humor. At least we think we've got one, but nobody else understands it. So one day I was over there, we were having coffee and telling stories about which diaper was best and what fabric softener worked on diaper. We had cloth diapers in those days, you know. So we were talking and Connie said, "I have a joke." Here it goes. She says, "There was a guy and he died and he went to heaven. And when he went to heaven, God met him and he went first to a room and it was filled with money and gold and jewels and all these possessions that the guy never had on earth. And the guy says, 'Wow, what are these?' And God says, 'Well, they're yours.' And then they went to the next room and it was filled with a Cadillac and amazing cars and boats and just all kinds of stuff. And the guy said, 'Well, what are these doing here?' And God says, 'Well, these are yours.' And then they went into the next room, and the guy's family was there, and his wife, she was more beautiful than she'd ever been, and the kids just were amazing people, not like people he remembered from Earth. And he says, 'Well, how'd they get here?' And God said, 'Well, these are your loved ones.' And the guy says, 'Well, why didn't I have this on Earth?' And God says, 'Well, you didn't ask for it.'" Yeah, I didn't laugh either. I still don't. Yeah. And that was great. That fit Connie, and it fit where she was at in that moment. And I know that she's changed a lot since then. It showed how she sort of understood God. That God's just going to grant us all these wonderful things here on earth, and they're just waiting for us. That's okay. It wasn't where my God was. My God at that time was helping me carry the burden of trying to make sure that there would be food on the table. My God at that time was helping me stand in the line to receive the welfare check so that I could provide formula for my infant. I wasn't too worried about diamonds and gold and Cadillacs. I was more worried about surviving. My prayer journals of that time show the depths of my prayers and the fact that I believe that God gives what is necessary and beneficial, not what we desire. God gives what we need to endure because God understands our human condition, that we are created, that we are finite, that we have limited abilities, and we're in desperate need just to get through life with God's help. You see, I believe that Christians should not pray to get whatever they want. I believe that Christians should pray for God to bring about the fullness of God's reign and to bring our participation in it to fruition. The disciples go to Jesus and they say, "Teach us to pray." And he doesn't give them lots of big fancy words. He doesn't give them a lot of fluff. He doesn't make it a ritual or a religious act. He makes it a conversation with the living God who isn't just out there, but is right here. The God who is willing to be part of our life. The God who is willing to be with us. There's a lot there. Have you ever really studied the words? I know I just read them. Is there a please or a thank you in there at all? There isn't. It's just assertive statements of need, isn't it? And so you could kind of just look at it and say, well, it's just all about I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. And yet, by the very act of the statement, it reveals so much about us. We are dependent. We are dependent. Give us today what we need to survive, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow's bread, not a lobster dinner. Give us today what we need to survive. So we're dependent. We confess our own guilt, right? Forgive us our sin. If we didn't sin and we weren't guilty of sin, we wouldn't need to ask for forgiveness. So that's right there in that statement, isn't it? Forgive us our sin. Lead us not into temptation. Wow. We are lost, and so we need to be led, and we are vulnerable, so we need help. We need help to resist the ways that lead us astray and take us away from God's realm and from being people of God's kingdom. In our very weaknesses, we meet God. And that's where God can help the most and give us what we need more completely. Prayer is not a mere act. Real prayer is the very core of our humanness and our human need and our relationship with our God. It's sincere, it's truthful, and you can't get it wrong. Ask. Keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. And actually, if you keep on asking, you might find that it's already being given to you in the moment of your asking. May we continue to grow in our prayer life. May we continue to know the living God. May we continue to see the ways that God is part of our life and answers our prayers. Amen.